Michael.
Hey, David. I'm sorry. I'm eating tiramisu. Some of the chocolate powder just went down my throat. I'm stopping now.
Is this why you're calling me?
No. No. I'm calling... Sorry.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. Before we get into it, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, we're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, the New York Football Giants fall to 2-7. Lose 27-22 to the Washington Commanders. Just a few things before we get started to set the tone, if my actual tone isn't doing it for you. Since the Giants have won the Super Bowl in 2012, they are 78-124-1, which is a 38% win percentage. They've essentially lost 2 out of every 3 games that they have played the last 12 years. They have won double-digit games one time since 2010 and lost double-digit games 8 times in that span. They have had a negative point differential in every season since 2010, besides 2012. So, one time. And I'm trying to find some of the other terrible ones. But for now, oh, here it is. Ready? Ready for this one? The Chiefs have won 2 Super Bowls between Daniel Jones' most recent 2 passing touchdowns at MetLife Stadium. For good measure.
I saw that one. That one showed up on my For You page.
For good measure. From Connor Hughes. Deontay Banks has allowed 6 touchdowns in 9 games this season. He basically didn't play 1 full game after he was benched. The 6 touchdowns is the most in the NFL. He's allowed 10 touchdowns in 23 career games. It's pretty bleak. New York Giants go to Germany next week to take on the perhaps equally atrocious Carolina Panthers before their bye. After which, who knows? They have a pretty tough schedule. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And it just doesn't seem like there's anything to look forward to. So, that's where we are. Weiss, how are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you perfectly articulated the state of the Giants with those fun facts. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough to sit there. It's a lot of apathy again, unfortunately. Nothing really to cheer for or root for or want to happen. I mean, I know people are already fully in tank mode, but you know, for me, it's I feel like I've done that so many times that I've just
not even that I've done it so many times. It's that there's no one obvious to tank for.
I mean, even
last year was easy. Last year was easy.
I know, but
easy to root for the tank. And if there was a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams,
yeah, even a Bo Nix.
Stop it. It would be
easy. Hey, bro, he was good today.
No, he wasn't. They scored 10 points.
He had a better jump ball.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That was good practice for his future as tight end in the league in 5 years.
Him and Daniel Jones are going to make a great tight end room someday.
That was honestly an impressive catch, though. You're fine. But yeah, I mean, again, there's nothing to look forward to. There really isn't. There's no... Like, we've spoken about this already. I mean, we're just over the halfway point of the season now, and we've had this conversation. Daniel Jones is a detriment to the entire team. You're not going to develop any young offensive lineman. You're not going to develop a young receiver with him under center. You're going to piss off the defense. You're going to frustrate the defense. You know, like, in terms of development, I'm sorry. Like, I'm supposed to get up every Sunday and be excited to watch Tyrone Tracy, Theo Johnson. Like, I'm not. I'm sorry. Like, I'm excited to watch Malik Nabers, and he's been neutered by Daniel Jones at quarterback. You know, they figured it out. It's really not that difficult to stop. You know, he got off to a hot start, and that's about it.
I don't want to make this an entire Daniel Jones. I feel like we've done that for the past month. I think what point I was trying to make to you, even with the tank thing, is that even if there was like this phenom in the draft, it seems like they always find a way to screw up the tank. So even rooting for that ends up disappointing.
Well, I saw someone put out a tweet. I think they might have been quote tweeting our good friend Monty, and it was like, somehow every year the Giants are the worst team in the league, and they always end up picking sixth.
Yeah, that's basically how like, it goes.
It makes no sense. But again, it's like, what is there to look forward to? There's no standout quarterback prospect. There's no like Daniel Jones benching on the horizon. And even then, like, am I really looking forward to that? Like, at this point, I'm just so demoralized and beat down, I can't even say that I am. You look at like, you know, again, I feel like I'm Joe Rogan when it comes to the New York Giants, because the last person that I speak to is whoever is going to influence my opinion on this front office and this head coach. You know, like Joe Rogan could have like the smartest doctor in the world on, and then, you know, someone could tell him that sunflower seeds cause cancer, and he'd be like, whoa, really, man? Like, again, like, you look at Joe Shane's 4 first round draft picks. One of them is objectively unplayable. Deontay Banks probably should have been benched after the second Terry McLaurin touchdown today. It was maybe the worst effort I've seen him give as a Giant. Kayvon is replacement level defensive end. And Malik Nabers, great. Okay, so he's got one absolute stud out of 4 first round picks, and the other 3 are a mixed bag of average, mediocre, and downright terrible. Yeah, he had a great fucking 2023-2024 draft class. Great. Like, what am I supposed to look forward to this season? Like, there's nothing. Last year, I was excited. You know, I was okay with sucking. There was a very obvious reward at the end of the suck tunnel. Now, what do we have to look forward to? We have to take John Mara's word as to these guys are definitely going to be back. Okay, dude, sure. Now we get to speculate on that when there's the real potential that they win 2, maybe 3 games for the rest of the season. Total, I mean. Like, there's no hope at developing any of these draft picks with the quarterback situation. And the head coach can't even get creative and run the offense he wants to run because the quarterback is so bad. Like what? So give me something. What am I supposed to look forward to?
There is nothing. You're right. If you feel anything other than apathy at this point, you're a sicko. If you are getting mad, and Weiss talked about this during his 3-minute rant a few weeks ago, what do you expect Daniel Jones to do? We know he's ass. We know they can't run a functional offense.
Right. Listen, I'm not even mad at him.
Yeah, exactly. If you are still getting mad watching the Giants winning and losing these games, you're missing the point. You know, each individual one of these games, sure, they're agonizing. Like, even today, they hung around longer than they should have. The defense could not get anything going. I mean, Daniels is obviously very good, which another kick in the dick is that he's in the division and will be for the foreseeable future, and he very clearly looks good. But there is nothing to look forward to. You know, maybe Kayvon comes back in a few weeks. Dex can hang around leading as the sack leader, but that's really it. You know, Dex maybe wins the sack title. He's at 9 through 9 weeks. Maybe
he's not even going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, he won't. No, because the team is too bad. But you, at the very least, you got an all-pro best player in the world at his position guy on the team, but that's it. And even that, poor Dex, even that's a testament to how hard it is, man. Him and Burns are, you know, Dex is the best player at his position, and I would say Burns is a
maybe
top,
ever.
And Burns is a top 7 or 8 edge rusher in the sport, and it really doesn't matter a whole lot. It is as frustrating as it gets.
For the game, I think part of the reason why it was so depressing was because I think the rookies collectively all struggled. You know, like I think Malik had a good game. Tyler Newbin really struggled a lot. I think he's been struggling the past couple of weeks, but I think the Giants are sort of in a weird situation because, you know, it's year three of this regime, but I'm not making excuses, but
it feels like year two.
It actually feels like year one. It's how many young rookies and second year players they're really playing. The alarming thing is that some of the second year guys, the third year guys that, you know, you're sort of
look worse. They look like they're regressing.
I was just going to say, I mean, they haven't taken a step forward. They look like they might be taking a step back. So I think that's where you get alarmed. That's where a lot of the hopelessness really comes in. You guys talk about the quarterback. I mean, at no point do you ever think that you have a chance to win the game with Daniel Jones at quarterback. And it just piles on to the hopelessness with this team.
I think 17 of their first 18 plays were runs.
Yeah, I mean, and Brian Daboll can say that that's just the game plan. Well, the game plan is, you know, I'm watching them run the ball. What did you say, 17 out of 18 times in the first
quarter? Something like that.
I think they had 115 rushing yards in the first quarter. I'm reminded by that Hard Knocks quote of we're not going to pay a running back $12 million. We're not going to pay a quarterback $160 million to hand the ball off to a $12 million right. running back. Well, you're paying $160 million to a quarterback to hand the ball off to a fifth round rookie who's only been playing running back for 2 years. So,
you know, it would be great, Nick. You clip that quote and then you put it with Shane saying that on Hard Knocks. And then you play the Curb Your Enthusiasm outro music with the Giants first quarter run game stats going across the screen. it's a joke. It really
today,
is.
Today, watching the game really made me feel more hopelessness than anything because it's like, man, like it was 3rd and 18 with 20 seconds left. And like, these are the plays that I just remember from like the incompetent Giant days, right? Like they're bad, but like there were days of like incompetence with the Giants, like with Pat Shurmur and Joe Judge, where I was like, okay, at least those type of moments are over. And those type of moments are lurking back, you know, 3rd and 18, I think with 20 seconds left, and the Redskins, or excuse me, the Commanders score a touchdown at the end of the half. I mean, that's just inexcusable right there. Like, that's, how do you let that happen? Missed tackles and then that Deontay Banks play. In regards to Deontay Banks, either the messaging is not getting across or he's just not a good player, or it's a combination of both. And I think either way, he should not have been on the field in the second half.
Am I misremembering, or did Joe Shane trade up for him?
Yeah, I think they did trade up for him. Yeah.
That's great.
I'm not going to absolve anybody from blame, but if I remember correctly, that was a big wink mark.
And they traded up for him to take him over Joey Porter Jr., correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Okay.
It's a lot of hopelessness. And
Nick, I think, tell me if that's incorrect. I don't want to mislead anyone, but I believe that to be true.
Yeah, no, that is right. Correct. I think they traded up one spot, gave up a fifth round pick, I think it was.
Because I was talking about Devontae Smith today, and I did screw up that draft scenario. So
that was a game. You guys want to talk about? You guys want to talk about the Dable decision to go for two when he scored a touchdown?
Not really.
I've been really anxious. I've been really anxious to see what your guys' thoughts are on that philosophy.
Listen, you're down 14 and you score, you go for two. That's what the numbers chance. Like.
You have a better chance because it's 50-50 on going for two. It's 49.3% for going for two.
Allegedly.
That's what it comes out to. But the Giants don't have any good 2-point plays, which is an issue.
Yes.
I feel like at this point, I understand they also probably didn't want to have, you know, the Rutgers practice squad guy kicking extra points at crucial points in the game as well. But yeah, the math says you go for it. You get, I think it's 75%.
I mean, Nick, you're bang on, dude. Like the kicking situation plays a huge part in there.
Are we down to a third string kicker again? The Giants can't catch a break with kickers 2 years in a row now.
Well, maybe they should have gotten a younger kicker.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
We respect the greatest kicker in the history of the Giants, but
at this point, Listen, I've ranted about this. I ranted about this earlier in the season. Like, every fucking team in this league can go find a skinny white guy from some third tier soccer league, teach him how to kick field goals, and he's banging them from 65, except for the Giants. Apparently, that's impossible for them to do.
Or like a buff tatted guy, like Austin Seibert for the Commanders.
But even he's not like, no, it's got to be a skinny white guy, dude. Like the Jake Elliotts, the Brandon Aubreys, like those guys hit from 65.
Is Blankenship? Blankenship's not on a team. We could do that instead of Randy Bullock.
Who was he? He was the Georgia guy with the goggles. Georgia
guy, yeah. He was on the Colts for 2 years, and then he hasn't been on a team the last 2 years.
Speaking of the Colts, you guys want Anthony Richardson?
I'd take a shot on Anthony Richardson, sure.
No.
I don't think I want him.
Well,
it'd be more exciting than this slop.
No, it won't.
Yes, it would. Come on. At least with Anthony Richardson, he's horribly inefficient, but he's hitting one bomb every game. And if you get Dable, a quarterback who can actually hit 40-yard outs, all right, we might be cooking.
Yeah, it's tough to bring another
guy. I was an AR guy out of college, and I'm just, you know, at some point you just got to be like, yep, I was wrong.
Can we get Josh Rosen? He's not doing anything.
They might be able to get Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold is the stopgap next year, is definitely on the table.
Don't count that out.
That's on the table.
Yeah. Again, nothing to look forward to. And I'm sorry. I just got to say, I would say with like 95% certainty, I'm getting rid of the season tickets next year. Like, fuck this team. It's bullshit. I'm not paying for this shit anymore. But considering they were already paid for going into this season, it's like, I got to go to November 24th and I got to go to December 8th. I'd rather not, but I've already got two commitments from people who are going with me, and I know I'm not going to be able to sell the tickets. So, like,
give them to like the American Cancer Society, get a tax write off.
Bro, maybe. Honestly, it's not a bad idea.
Give them to like Make a Wish or something. That's probably a better use than what than
you. That's actually a great idea. Okay, yeah, thank you for that. All right,
of course. Okay. All right. A little kid would enjoy that a lot more than we would.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe Shane, Brian Daboll.
This is a good conversation.
Since the 6-2 start, I think, Nick, you got Daboll's record. What is it?
It's not good. It is not good. We are so unbelievably under 500 over the last 2 years. It is disgusting.
10-23-1.
Since the 6-2 start. This year?
Yeah, since Daboll started in 6-2. He's averaging...
including the first season.
Yeah. Since the 6-2 start, the Giants are 10-23-1 under Brian Daboll. They're averaging 1 point less than what they averaged last year with Mike Kafka calling the plays. And apparently the lesser talented quarterback playing. Their words, not mine. Joe Shane, obviously, we talked about the first round picks. Evan Neal, unplayable. Deontay Banks, I also think is unplayable at this point, but they continue to play him. Kayvon Thibodeau, nothing to write home about. I think good player at best. Malik Nabers, obviously a rookie. Also making some comments too as a rookie that's kind of making you wonder, like, okay, you know, is this going to be, I don't want to say that situation, but he's clearly
just Gen Z.
Yeah, exactly. Talked about the second round pick. You talk about the second round picks. You know, again, nothing to write home about. Drafting has not been good. I think we'll give him a good grade on the free agent signings. The trades have been good, both the guys that he shipped out and the guys that he have acquired. Where are you guys with this regime? How confident are you? Is this something that...
I'm not, you know. I'm really not. Again, I'm like Joe Rogan. Last person that I speak to is who I'm going to probably agree with, and I have a golden rule.
Can I give you my golden rule?
Yeah, go ahead, and I'll tell you where I'm at.
If you're going week to week with these guys, you want them gone.
I don't want them gone, but I just don't have the confidence. You know, I think it's like, I don't know how many times are you gonna blow it up. You know, I see the arguments for both sides. Like, the drafting hasn't been good. This draft class is looking a little bit more promising. you know, you could certainly argue that they backed themselves into the corner because they won too many games with Daniel Jones and they wound up giving him the contract. And last year they got unlucky. They won too many games. They played themselves out of three incredibly good quarterback prospects. They've never had the opportunity to go out and draft their quarterback. The first year, and you could argue even part of the second year, they weren't able to spend to their heart's content because of the financial mess that they were given. You know, I see the arguments. It's just,
Their process. You just, the results are not there.
But again, it's like this is where I struggle, right?
Yeah.
I like the process, but just because the process is significantly better than Dave Gettleman's doesn't mean that someone else couldn't follow the same process and also be having better results. Like, not giving a running back a gazillion dollars with the roster in the state that it was in is like very obviously the correct thing to do. And I like to think that like any GM under the age of 50 that were to have gotten hired would have done the same thing. You know, like where is the bar? Where are we setting the bar with these guys? Because I think comparatively, it may have been too fair to them because of how bad the previous administration was. And like, you know, no, I'm not going to say that, but what, like, just again, look at the drafting. And I don't buy the, like, a lot of people will throw, is Weiss frozen, by the way?
No,
no,
no, he was locked in on you.
He was just locked in on my opinions. I love that. So like, I don't buy the excuse. I think people will throw out there that, you know, oh, can't really blame all of the first draft on Joe Shane because he was still using some of the old guys and the scout. What was this guy doing in Buffalo? Was he not scouting the same guys? Like, I don't buy that argument. The first draft was atrocious. He owns that. Like, that's on him. And again, you know, I like some of the trades. I like some of the free agent signings. I like this draft class. But again, the Daniel Jones contract, you couldn't just franchise the guy. I mean, come on. There's just a lot. There's a lot. I see both sides. I really do. I'm gonna let the season
play out before. Where are you? I don't care about what both sides say. Where are you right now?
I don't know, dude. I'm just telling you. Like, there's a, like, you want me to like give it a defense? Like, this is very hot take WFAN. Like, you want me to give a fire or
no? I just want
to grade a scale of 1 to 10. Like, how do you want me to do this?
If the season ended today, right? Where are you? Like, are you like, okay, we have to.
I mean, if the season ended today, I'm letting them stick around. But okay, as we know,
there's no wrong answer here, by the
bad,
way.
Bad, of course not. Yeah. Bad can go to significantly worse.
Yeah, we've seen that.
You send this fucking group of guys to Germany and you lose to the Panthers?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to happen?
That's the big question.
Going to the bye week, what's going to happen?
I don't think nothing in season, but losing to Germany, that would be bad. Go ahead, Nick.
And then you got to sit on that 10-hour flight coming back after losing to Bryce Young and the Panthers. That's a lot. The thing I wanted to ask you about this, because as much as I want to complain, at the same time, these were the consensus picks. Neal was tackle one. Thibodeau was the best pass rusher in that draft. Banks, you know, that's a scouting and teaching thing, but I do think it's a real issue, and I think this is the undercurrent of a lot of this stuff, is that
development. You're gonna see development.
The Giants draft these guys and they don't get better, and in some cases they get worse. And
listen, I think you can blame development for Thibodeau 100%, maybe not 100%, maybe like 75%. Neal, that's just,
I think he's a head case and they didn't know what to do with him. So obviously those two things together makes it a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like, who gets better here? You know, who stays here long term and get better other than Dex? Andrew Thomas, sure. But none of these guys are getting significantly better. You know,
ATN Dex.
I worry about Neighbors going forward. Like, if he's on this team, that's just hot ass. And he very clearly wants to be better, but he can't because nobody on the team is capable of getting him the ball. What's year two of this look like for him? What does it look like for the guys in the secondary who are getting their confidence obliterated because they're getting dunked on every week? What does it look like when guys start saying, well, if we're going to go 2-16, why am I out here breaking my neck trying to win this game?
And that's what I'm saying, man. It could go from bad to atrocious.
And really that's good. And that's why when Maris said what he said, you know, he said the same thing about Joe Judge, and then shit went off the rails. I'm not saying it's going to go off the rails, but
well, can I say one thing about the Joe Judge thing? Because everyone keeps pointing to that. John Merrill was going to keep Joe Judge.
Yes.
No, and he buried himself in that presser.
He gave that 30-minute press conference after the Eagle game. Yeah.
Even after he talked himself out of a job, there was a lot of GM candidates that did not want to work with him.
Yeah. Right.
That was the big thing in all this. Like, even after he talked himself out of a job, if there was a GM candidate that said, "Hey, if Joe Shane said I'm willing to work with Joe Judge would have been the head coach." But just they didn't want to work with him for whatever reason. So go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just because at a certain point, so let's say they bring everyone back and we bring in a bridge quarterback. So because we're probably drafting a project quarterback. So you're going to do 4 to 5 games of Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, that tier of guy. Ugh. And then we're going to go to Cam Ward in week 6.
I don't think so.
It's disgusting.
I don't think that would be the case. I think these quarterbacks are actually guys that, for the most part, like the ones that you mentioned, I don't think they're like guys that ceilings are, you know, they're projects or they're someone that have a high ceiling. But I think these are ready-made guys that are, you know, they are who they are. And so far, I don't think, obviously they're going to be rookies, but I think they have a lot of snaps under them. I think especially Cam Ward, Shador too, obviously playing what three. So I don't know, but I think for me, this ultimately comes down to how confident am I? Forget about the quarterback position right now. How confident am I in the players that they brought in going forward for me to say, yes, they can, I like the direction we're going in?
Because it's hard to. So
that's my concern right now.
Because I agree with you.
Yeah.
They've brought in players who on paper are good.
They've turned this roster over.
The roster is not as bad as they are playing. Like on paper, they should be able to move the ball better than this. They should be able to score more points than this. And look, I understand the quarterback is atrocious. We see mediocre quarterbacks get to 20 points pretty reasonably often. This defense, for the most part, has done a good job of giving them extra possessions, forcing turnovers, getting off the field for 3 and outs. But I agree with you, Weiss. I'm very weary of the, because best case, you bring in a new quarterback and you still have the same questions of, are we going to be able to move the ball? Are we going to be able to convert in the red zone? Do we have enough playmakers to make plays? And it's a daunting proposition. You know, you end up in this quarterback purgatory and you keep running different guys out there. You know, the Bears have been doing this for 40 years. I'm not saying we're there yet, considering it's only been Daniel Jones, but when you don't have that franchise guy, you need to be trying to do everything you can to find that franchise guy. And because they can't, they're stuck. This is as close as you're going to get to football purgatory without being, you know, the worst roster, because the Giants roster is not bad, but this feels as hopeless as it's maybe ever been right now in this exact moment.
Yeah. That's the thing for me is where are the young players? Where are the players that we're building around? Where are we? Right. Is this because the quarterback position, I think, is a separate conversation. When I just look at the talent on this roster, I see veterans. I see the leader, you know, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns. These are the leaders. I think Andrew Thomas is a leader. I think they have veteran presence in the locker room. But it's just alarming to me that so many young guys that they've brought in have failed to, whether they've been on the, they were drafted in 22 or 23. You know, and I'm not going to talk about this draft class. These guys are still rookies, but mainly 22 and 23. Where is it? You know, where? Show me the guy, right? Okay, Kayvon, good player. All right, fine. Okay, JMS. You know, he's developing. He actually just played. I think he just plays his 16th career game. So his rookie season is over now, right? Like, okay, I got that. But like Jalen Hyatt, he's not, like, he has one catch for 6 yards. He's unplayable.
Another Joe Shane gem.
Yeah. Evan Neal, like, regardless what the pre-draft thing was, like, he's unplayable. You know?
He got on the field today.
He did, yeah. As a, what was he, like a
he was the extra lineman, yeah.
The extra lineman, yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, like, that's where I am. So it's like, give me something to be confident about where I can say, okay, we're ahead. Because this is all about the direction for me. Are we, like, when the season ends, am I like, okay, I like where we are with the young guys. I like the guys from 23. You know, I know 22 is bad, but okay, I can see, like, I look at the quarterback situation and I look at the rest of the roster as two separate equations. And I think they botched the quarterback situation. That's well documented what they did there, not bringing in any real competition. The contract to Daniel Jones, I actually give them a pass for the Daniel Jones contract, because I truly believe no matter who the general manager was,
they would have had to do that. Yeah.
They would have had to do that. They would have had to commit to Daniel Jones. So I give them a pass. What I don't give them a pass for is what they did this past offseason. On the other side with the roster, it's like, I got to see something. And right now, I just don't see it. I don't see who the guys are. And that has me alarmed. And look, I'm not going to go week to week on this, but at the end of the season, or, you know, in the last couple weeks of the season, I want to be able to feel a lot better about the young players on this roster. And right now, I'm not there. So
I think that's more than fair.
Yeah, so that's that.
Yeah, I don't really know what else to say.
What's the path out? I think that's the conversation, because
there is no path out.
But here's the sucky part about it, right? If they fire this regime, and I don't think they will. I don't think I just don't envision John Mara doing that, especially not the general manager. But if this team bottoms out, let's say they don't win another game this season and they clean house, I still don't think this will be like a desirable job where general managers will be like, yeah, I want to go there, or I'm open to going there. And I know this is one of 32. It's one of 32, but we're seeing more and more where coaches are like, no, I'm staying. I'm good. Whether it's in college, whether it's a hot coordinator. I mean, Bobby Slowick was...
Yeah, but I think GMs have a longer leash than head coaches do. And again, I'm saying, like, if you are of the belief that this roster is a quarterback away and they do fire Joe Shane and you do have the option to release Daniel Jones and you have the money to go out there and swing a trade for a veteran or sign a veteran or you have a top five pick. That's a very, very nice position.
But you have an unhinged owner.
You have an unhinged owner because your team fucking blows. If John Mara, all the stats that I read out at the beginning of the podcast are like because of incompetent hiring, fine. Yeah, but he hires you and if you think that this roster is a quarterback away, you have multiple avenues if you were to accept this job to fix that.
No, but you're looking at it the wrong way. You pointed out stats from before Joe Shane got there. If you fire a general manager
and during his tenure
and a head coach, well, during his tenure, they're the only regime that won a playoff game in over a decade.
Okay. My point is, so
if you clock twice a day,
no. Hear me out again. I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm simply saying if you fire a general manager and you fire a head coach after three off seasons, right? You are officially a team with an unhinged owner. You're teetering to where David Tepper is, to where it's just...
Oh, no, you're not.
Yes, you are. Absolutely, no, you are. If you... No. This will...
No, not even this close will,
3 years is a reasonable life cycle for a coach.
I'm not talking about GM.
You want to say 5 years?
Yeah,
so, fine. So I think if it's one...
If Gettleman got four, Shane will get four. That's the way I'm looking at it.
But do you want him getting four? That's the question.
I think.
And if you want a GM on the hot seat drafting a quarterback.
If you fire a GM after 3 years, where the first year was essentially him having no cap space whatsoever and really not a full plate to operate, which to me, you become an unhinged owner. And I, and I, And I'm sorry, even though I am a Giants fan, I wouldn't look at this job as being some, you know, desirable job for a general manager.
I don't think John Mayer is an unhinged owner, though.
Yeah, he's not.
If he fires a general manager after 3 years,
I don't think
that's what was the record after 6-2, Nick?
I don't know. 10-23?
Yeah,
there you go. 3-1.
Okay, but then if you're so let's say a general manager is looking at it like, if I mess up on one thing or I mess up on two things, I could be gone. I understand this notion where it's like we live in immediate results.
What is this one or two things? He had 2 top 10 picks and missed horrifically on one and missed pretty bad on the other. He signed a quarterback to a horrible contract.
But we just agreed that the owner was not going to allow them to not make that decision.
No. That he was on board with it.
Yes.
Not that he forced them to do it. We both know for a fact that Joe Shane was on board with that. But Joe Shane wanted to do that.
But if he wasn't on board, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Okay, but my point is, you're saying like, oh, if you're just going to fire a guy for one or two bad decisions, there's so many bad decisions.
There is a lot of bad decisions. But if
this is stupid, I don't want to argue about this. I fucking hate this team. This is a stupid argument, and we can have this fucking discussion at the end of the season.
It would be a terrible look if this owner.
I don't care. I fuck John Mara. Fuck Joe Shane. Fuck Brian Dable. Fuck Nick. I don't care. I don't care. I don't think he's firing him.
This sucks.
I don't think I've had as little fun podcasting about this team since we've started doing this twice. And we've done this with some horrific teams.
Yeah. Well, the horrific teams was sort of like,
at least it was like a train wreck.
Yeah.
This is like watching animal documentaries where like a lion is like hunting like a 100-year-old sick zebra. That's what the Giants are right now. Like it's just like, just die already. Just kill the fucking thing.
Do you want to hear?
It sucks. We got to play these games. It can't be just like boxing. Knock us out.
I gotta go to MetLife in December, Nick.
I'll tell you guys a sad story. Well, you guys won't think it's sad, and you'll know why. But you know, after the Yankees lost Game 5, I turned to my brother who was sitting next to me, and I said, the only thing I can look forward to as a sports fan the rest of the year is when my team benches Daniel Jones for Drew Lock. That's the only enjoyment that I'll have. And he sort of looked at me and he said, I want to give you a hug. I mean, that's tough. I mean, that's where we are, right? Like, what else is there to look forward to in the immediate future?
The Giants got the screen over the Islanders today. Just think about that for a second.
Well, the Islanders are injured to hell. So like
before they were injured.
You're not wrong. They're a very mediocre team, but they are very injured. So they have a little bit of an excuse.
I just learned that in hockey, a draw, when you go to overtime, that counts as 1 point, even if you lose.
Loser point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's the only reason the Islanders made the playoffs last year.
Really?
So loser point merchant.
What are they called? Loser point?
Well, that's what we call them. We call them loser points.
See, I'm not hip in the hockey world yet.
It's an idiom.
Yes. Hey man, you might enjoy hockey more than the Giants. You don't even have to know what's going on, and you might enjoy it more than the Giants.
Yeah, just become a Rangers fan.
I just hate sport.
You watch regular season basketball. Just watch hockey.
I will. Good. Well, the one thing I love about
regular season basketball is a horrific product.
I have. Yeah, it's very bad. Oh my god, it's horrific. And nowadays everybody thinks they can shoot threes. So it's like I don't want to talk about basketball right now. And it's bad. It's really bad. But I can't do hockey. I mean, the Rangers aren't exactly like, you know, I mean, I know they're one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup, right?
What are they, 10-3, Nick? What was their record?
They're 10-3 after today. Yeah. 10-2-1.
Yeah, it's not like their trophy case is filled up with trophies recently. I mean,
buy low on the Devils. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you.
If you want to get in on the ground floor or something, yeah, the Devils.
I'm a Maryland Terrapin season ticket holder. I haven't been to a game in like 2 years.
What do you do with the tickets?
I don't know. They're very cheap. I think they're like $300-$400 for alumni. It's just like a Netflix renewal for me. I'm not saying I'm rich or anything. I'm just saying it's like I don't even like.
I
forgot. Yeah, alumni get this package where you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick. Sorry.
You're fine. I was gonna say, so they lose in Germany. Can they just stay there? Just don't come back. We don't play the rest of the season. Make them play in the European NFL.
I mean, I have my opinion on Europe.
Can Marcus Kuhn play?
Yeah, remember
Can Marcus Kuhn play defense for us in the Germany game?
Marcus Kuhn was that one guy that sucked. Everybody knew he sucked, but Tom Coughlin kept playing him. Remember that?
Yeah. Was he even drafted? He was like a 7th round pick or UDFA?
I think he wasn't he like the first player?
He's a UDFA because he was from like the fucking whatever league.
Wasn't he the first player out of that little international thing that they do?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that, right? Because I think he's an ambassador for that now.
Good
for him. Say something. I still follow him on Instagram, so I still see him occasionally.
Good for him. Happy for him. Nick, what were you saying?
Did you see Saquon's hurdle? That was pretty sick.
Look, it's going to be funny when they inevitably lose a close playoff game.
Exactly. Because
the Eagles are just, you know, they're not bad. But
bro, if the Lions play this Eagles team, they would win
by three touchdowns.
I think 45 to like 13.
I think the Lions are going to win the NFC East. I think
by default, Dallas is dead. Dallas is dead.
Dak is hurt.
Washington can hang around. Washington's what? 6-1?
It would be so funny if Jaden Daniels won the division.
They have a very easy schedule, but what's their best win?
Who the Eagles? This isn't college football. It don't matter.
I know.
The Eagles schedule has been a joke.
Yeah, the Eagles haven't played anyone either. Washington, you know, Washington played Baltimore pretty well.
Pretty well, yeah.
I mean, they lost, but
I know Nick is big on moral victories, but
if we're talking about progress, you know, Washington as a young team with a bad coach to have a record like this, you know.
I don't want to sound like a hater. I like Jaden Daniels. He was my second favorite quarterback in the draft. But the man takes a lot of hits.
Yes, he does. That's
a lot of unnecessary hits.
That's fair. I agree with you.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Are we done? Or Nick, you got something else you want us to talk about?
Mercifully get us out of here. This team sucks ass.
Yeah, this team's so bad.
Real quick. The trade deadline. Aziz Ojulari, Darius.
Pack your shit.
They're not going to get anything for him.
The thing is,
they're saying a 5th round pick for Aziz Ojulari.
Yeah, no thanks.
You want to keep Aziz Ojulari?
I'd rather just keep him around, dude.
I don't think they're going to pay him what he wants at the end of the year anyway, so you might as well get that 5th.
I agree too. I love Aziz Ojulari. I've been a Aziz truther for a while.
Again, this is like, to me, I don't want to compare this to the Saquon situation. It's very different, but like I think people who got so mad at Joe Shane for not trading Saquon for what would have amounted to like a 4th. Just like silly. Like I'd rather just take the shot that the guy takes the discount, you know?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't think either of these guys is getting you anything spectacular.
Like, sorry, like Micah McFadden is not exciting to hear. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just, again, what happened to like, we used to be such a prideful fan base. Like we used to pride ourselves on our NASCAR packages with Kiwanuka and Tuck and OC and JP, like all those guys. Like why can't we have like a good third pass rusher?
Well, we can, we just have to draft him
or just sign Ojulari.
But after paying Brian Burns 30 mil a year, and then Kayvon I think is going to cost them what, 15 when they pick
I'd rather trade draft. Kayvon.
That would be a terrible mistake, I think. I think Kayvon's a much better overall player. And I think
people say that because they like trick themselves into thinking that, oh yeah, he can just beat up on shitty tackles and like accumulate sacks against bad teams. Like, I'm sorry, the pass rushing matters. It does. And Ojulari is a better pass rusher, significantly.
I think there's a world where you can go draft a third pass rusher that can play, you know, 15-20 snaps a game without you having.
I mean, they're going to have like
$15 million.
They're
going
to have pretty high draft capital. Like, use your second round pick to go draft the next Olivier Vernon. That's what Kayvon is.
I don't know about that.
Trade his ass. I don't care.
No, I don't think
trade him. Sign Aziz. That's my stance. I'm sticking to it.
We're cutting costs already.
I don't know why. I don't know why we would trade Kayvon. He's cheap guy right now and sign Aziz. I mean, as much as I love Aziz, I just don't.
Because Kayvon's not going to be cheap when you have to extend him.
Well, I mean, the way you describe him, I think he will.
What do you mean?
I mean, you seem to think that he's.
No, because he dresses flashy and he's going to compile sacks against fucking third string tackles.
I think Kayvon can be definitely be better, but I don't like some of the.
I'll never get the visual of him getting manhandled by fullbacks out of my head from last year. It's not tough. A Kayvon guy. Can't do it.
All right, I do have one question for both of you before we get out of here. Is anyone other than Detroit actually good?
No, dude.
Baltimore's good.
No, they're not. Their defense is fraudulent.
Their offense is great. By the way, Tennessee is
incredible. Don't get
Tennessee. How could the Titans let Derrick Henry go? I mean, holy crap!
I know. Very underdiscussed narrative.
Who's their GM? Who's their head coach? How could you let him go?
Callahan's their head coach, right? No.
Bill, it's one of them.
One of them, yeah. I think they're both there, the dad and the son. I mean, how could you let Derrick Henry go? He was the face of your franchise, a generational running back.
Whatever.
He was the best player on your team.
Yes,
Joe Mixon is the real deal. Where would Cincinnati be if they kept Joe Mixon, right? Where would they be? They went to the Super Bowl with Joe Mixon. You know that, right?
I do. I remember.
Some points being made.
Yeah, I mean, come on. How could you get rid of these running backs? Look at the Saints. They're smart. Kept Alvin Kamara in the mix. At 215 scrimmage yards today. And the losing effort to the Saints. To the Panthers, I'm sorry. Those juggernaut Panthers. gotta keep these running backs, man. Not like you can get a guy in the fifth round, play running back for 2 months. All of a sudden, he has back-to-back 100-yard games.
I'm so pissed that Daniel Jones walked a touchdown from him.
Yeah, that was me too.
That loser.
Giants could have 1999 Marshall Faulk on this offense. It wouldn't make a difference.
They could have present day Derrick Henry on this offense. It wouldn't make a difference.
I mean, there was a report today that they're not benching Daniel Jones, so they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So it seems buckle up for another month. I think.
Great. I hope they lose in Germany.
It'd be funny.
I don't know what would happen
if the plane crashes on the way there. Do we get a disaster draft?
Come on.
I'm just asking. I'm not hoping.
Oh God.
Just asking.
We're so screwed.
Speaking of plane crashes, I watched that Netflix movie about the plane.
What was that sequitur?
At MH380, the Malaysian flight?
No, not that one. I did watch that documentary. It freaked me out. But I actually, it was that. I think it was a soccer team with a rugby team from Uruguay.
Soccer team.
That was crazy, man. That was wild. Yeah. Based on a true story, kind of insane.
Yep. Anyway, disaster draft. Just consider it. Let's get out of here.
Sure.
If you've made it this far, God bless you. I'm not even going to wrap us up. Nick, just outro. Do whatever you do. We'll talk to you. Germany. Unbelievable. 9:30. I got to ruin my Sunday morning, but at least I get it over with.
Yeah, that's the good part.
At least Red Zone gets the main screen rest of the day.
I'm not burning my iPad battery on the Giants anymore.
I know. It's not worth it. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.